Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Spotify makes it easier than ever to discover new favorites by previewing short audio clips before committing to a full listen. You can even watch some podcasts with video or just keep playing audio in the background. It's everything you want in one app. Music, podcasts, and audiobooks across any device. Play anytime, anywhere, any way you'd like with Spotify. Try today.
Today is Thursday, June 4th, 2020. On this day in 1986, Jonathan J. Pollard, an American intelligence analyst for the Navy, pleaded guilty to spying for Israel. For a little over a year, Pollard passed off highly classified information and found himself behind bars for life. Welcome to Today in True Crime, a Parcast original. Today we're covering Jonathan J. Pollard, an intelligence analyst who divulged highly classified information to Israel. Let's go back to a Washington, D.C. courthouse on the morning of June 4th, 1986. Thirty-one-year-old Jonathan J. Pollard stood before U.S. District Court Judge Aubrey E. Robinson with sweat beading down his face. Standing beside Pollard, holding his hand, was his wife, 25-year-old Ann Henderson Pollard. As the two waited for Judge Robinson to address them, Pollard turned to his wife and gave her a reassuring smile. Pollard wasn't the only one facing consequences for his actions. Anne was, too. She was battling two severe charges of her own, conspiring to receive embezzled government property and an accessory after the fact to possessing secret U.S. military documents. Prosecutors were looking for a sentence of 10 years in prison and a $500,000 fine. But while Anne received some of the attention, the real focus was on her husband, Jonathan. He was facing an even greater charge, one that carried a penalty of life in prison. He was accused of providing U.S. military information to Israel, an act of espionage. 7 months earlier, in November of 1985, Pollard realized the walls were closing in on him and his spycraft work. On November 18th, after leaving his office at the Naval Investigative Service, Pollard was approached by NIS and FBI agents for questioning. Unbeknownst to him, a supervisor had noticed suspicious documents sitting on his desk and informed the FBI. Inside Pollard's briefcase were more military secrets that he was intending to hand over to his Israeli handlers. And while transferring top-secret information between agencies was common, the content inside Pollard's briefcase was entirely unrelated to the work his department did. When asked if he would go with them for questioning, Pollard said yes. At some point during the interrogation, Pollard was allowed to make a call to his wife. Knowing that he was probably being monitored, he floated the word cactus to Anne. Cactus was code for getting rid of all classified material from their apartment. Anne did just that, stashing documents into a suitcase and passing it off to a neighbor. As the interrogation continued, Pollard was asked to take a polygraph test. As the questions continued and the arm of the polygraph scratched, Pollard knew he wasn't going to be able to keep everything a secret. He didn't have it in him, so he partially confessed. He revealed to the federal agents that he had, in fact, taken top-secret documents and handed them off to a foreign country. However, he didn't reveal which country it was. Despite his partial confession, Pollard was allowed to leave. However, the feds made sure to keep him under surveillance. It's possible that the FBI wanted to see if Pollard could meet with his handler and arrest both at the same time. Whatever the reason, Pollard was free, but not for long. 3 days later, on November 21st, Pollard and his wife made their way to the Israeli embassy with the intention of seeking political asylum. To their great surprise, they were turned away by the guards. As they were walking out of the building, FBI agents surrounded the Pollards. They handcuffed Jonathan and threw him in the back of a squad car. The next day, Anne was arrested as her husband's accomplice. Today, standing before Judge Robinson, Pollard knew he had no real options for freedom. He only hoped that if he cooperated with the government, perhaps they would be lenient on him, on Anne. Judge Robinson finally looked up from the bench and asked Jonathan J. Pollard, on the charge of conspiracy to provide U.S. military secrets to Israel, how did he plead? Pollard responded, guilty. Coming up, we dive into Jonathan Pollard's path to espionage. Now back to the story. On June 4, 1986, Jonathan J. Pollard, along with his wife Anne, pleaded guilty to crimes against the United States. Pollard admitted that he had committed espionage for the State of Israel, delivering them U.S. military secrets in exchange for money. He ultimately received a life sentence for his crimes. Upon first glance, one wouldn't expect Jonathan Pollard to be a spy. A round face, receding hairline, and thick-rimmed glasses, he looked more like an accountant than James Bond or Jason Bourne. And yet, between 1984 and 1985, Pollard provided Israel with approximately 1,000 classified documents, the bulk of which pertained to the Middle East. For years, Pollard desperately wanted to be a spy, or at least play the role of one. After being rejected in 1979 to join the CIA, he managed to get a job with Naval Intelligence. Shockingly, the writing was on the wall early on that Pollard shouldn't be trusted to keep high-level intelligence. He was known to abuse drugs, especially during his college years, and had delusions of grandeur. He claimed that his father was a CIA agent in Prague and that the IRA once kidnapped his fiancé, neither of which was true. It's unclear exactly how or why someone with such fanciful stories would be allowed to obtain any kind of clearance for sensitive documents, but he did. And in 1984, he was promoted to analyst for the Naval Criminal Investigation Service, working specifically in anti-terrorism. It wasn't long after that he finally got to be what he always wanted to be, a spy. The same year he was promoted to analyst, Pollard met Colonel Aviram Selah, a member of the Israeli Air Force. It's unclear exactly what the circumstances of their initial meeting was. Sources differ if Selah was actually a graduate student of NYU or simply posing as one. But what we do know is that upon their meeting, Pollard, with little to no coercion, offered to give Selah military secrets. Pollard was a devout Zionist. Growing up, Pollard learned at a young age that he had family who died in the Holocaust. To that end, his parents decided it was important that he be raised to be proud of his heritage. This evolved into a fascination and devotion to Israel. So when Pollard discovered that he was talking to an actual Israeli intelligence officer, he knew that this was his chance to not only be a spy, but a spy for Israel. A few days after their initial meeting in New York, the two men met up again in Washington, D.C. In exchange for information about an Iraqi chemical plant, Pollard was given over $10,000 in cash and some expensive jewels. Pleased with the information he'd received, Selah arranged a long-term deal. Pollard would be paid $30,000 a year for the stolen information. That was because the information Pollard was revealing was good, very good. 3 times a week, Pollard met with Selah or another handler, Rafi Eitan, in various apartments around Washington, D.C., and made the exchanges. To this day, the full extent of what Pollard gave to the Israelis isn't known. However, thanks to the reporting of a young wolf blitzer in 1987, we have some ideas as to what was given. For example, Pollard provided reconnaissance information on the Palestine Liberation Organization in Tunisia. This ultimately allowed the Israelis to coordinate a strike against their Palestinian enemies. Pollard also handed over information on Syrian and Iraqi chemical weapons factories, Soviet weapons shipments to various Arab countries, and information regarding Pakistan's nuclear project. As one Israeli officer described it in Blitzer's report, Pollard's work made our life much easier. But Pollard's time as a spy would only last a year and a half. On several occasions, documents not for his department were seen on his desk, drawing the suspicion of co-workers and supervisors who walked back and glanced at them. Finally, in November 1985, his suspicious activity was reported to the FBI. After being interrogated and giving a partial confession, Pollard was arrested at the Israeli embassy after being denied asylum. The next day, his wife Anne was arrested as an accomplice. As it turns out, the neighbor she gave the briefcase of information to was related to a naval officer. Finding the whole thing very strange, he contacted the FBI about the suitcase. Pollard was stubborn to work with the government at first, but realizing that violating the Espionage Act meant a life sentence, Pollard decided to cooperate. On June 4, 1986, he officially pleaded guilty. Anne followed suit. Unfortunately for Pollard, he was ultimately given a life sentence, with the possibility of parole in 30 years. Anne was sentenced to only 5 years. Not long after her early release in 1990, Jonathan unexpectedly served Anne with divorce papers. He claimed he wanted her to be able to move on. When news initially broke that Pollard was spying for the Israelis, there was confusion and outrage as to why he would spy on an ally. On the outset, the Israeli government denied Pollard was an agent and that his handlers had gone rogue. But in 1988, they acknowledged Pollard and by 1995 had even granted him citizenship. For the next few decades, they worked on freeing Pollard from prison. But the United States refused to grant Pollard clemency. Shockingly, the revelation did little to damage the relationship between the U.S. and Israel. Rather, the lack of security over intelligence and who was allowed to see it received heavier scrutiny. In the end, though, Pollard would eventually receive his freedom. On November 20, 2015, 61-year-old Jonathan Pollard was released from prison on parole. But despite achieving his freedom after 30 years behind bars, there was one thing he's barred from doing: moving to Israel. In 2018, the Department of Justice denied Pollard's request to emigrate. Thanks for listening to Today in True Crime. I'm Vanessa Richardson. For more stories about the hidden world of spies, check out Parcast Original Espionage. Today in True Crime was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. It is executive produced by Max Cutler, sound designed by Dick Schroeder, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Joshua Kern. This episode of Today in True Crime was written by Joe Guerra, with writing assistance by Abigail Cannon. I'm Vanessa Richardson.